In the name of God, who made us, loves us, and keeps us. Amen. This year, as for the past 2 years, I will take my holiday in Orkney, God and Nicola Sturgeon willing. It's not the obvious choice for a summer holiday. It will take me 3 days to get there, and the weather is unlikely to be fine. I do have roots there. My great-grandmother was born near Orford, at the age of 18, turning her back on a tiny croft that could not support her and her 10 younger siblings from its 11 marshy acres. One by one, they all left, buying their passage with the money she sent back home. If you stand where the road rises, you can just see the sea. When she finally settled, it was in North Dakota, more than 1,000 kilometers inland. I feel drawn to Orkney by the family connection, but mostly I go there for the rugged landscapes, half-moon bays and sea cliffs with their colonies of guillemots and puffins and seals, the stone circles and chambered tombs that mark an ancient processional route along the central locks. I have paused at the edge of a geo to look out over the sea, only to discover a fulmar chick, unexpectedly fluffy, tucked safe below the top of the cliff just a few meters from me, or wandered in the gold of the evening around the ring of Brodgar as the wind ripples along the loch and lays the grass flat, and felt that I had the whole landscape to myself. My spiritual director once asked me what drew me to such places, and I answered instinctively that they made me feel small. It's a surprisingly comforting feeling. The wind and the waves will go on without me. The seabirds will return to breed, whether I come or not. The stones that guard the ancient way will stand for another 1,000 years or more. The people who erected them, like my great-grandmother, long gone away. She probably gave no thought to that remnant of deep time as she stepped off the island for the last time, poverty and the need to escape it absorbing every scrap of attention. Over the past 15 months, the pandemic has made all of us indifferent at times, too absorbed in tracking case rates as they rose or fell, decoding government regulations, and adapting to entirely new and often exhausting ways of doing work and school. Mindful walks and living in the moment have proved impossible for many, as the one constant of our new normal has proven to be change. Would there be another lockdown? Would schools be open tomorrow morning? Would we be able to go on holiday? Will our businesses survive? Even as things open up and relax, we are still beset with uncertainty. Choirs meet joyously for their first rehearsal together for more than a year, and the next day are back on Zoom. Our couples with weddings planned for this summer have tiered guest lists, brutally dividing friends and family into concentric circles of closeness, because they still have no idea whether they will have 6 or 15 or 30 or 50 guests, if their wedding goes ahead at all. There have been upsides. We are all more flexible. We can try new things and let go of what doesn't feed us. When we find we can do something that was forbidden or just impossible, it's such a delicious pleasure. I went to London on Friday to meet my clergy support group. We always go to the same restaurant, but this time we couldn't get a lunch booking even weeks in advance, so we had to meet for brunch. And even that seemed marvelous, an unexpected delight. But it's also exhausting, turning our heads constantly to figure out where to look, what's allowed, what might be possible next. And even as I relish the unexpected joys and the incremental returns, I find myself increasingly drawn to the unchanging, the eternal. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Even the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are accounted as dust on the scales. See, he takes up the isles like fine dust. I long to sit at the Broch of Birse, where the deep blue stretches to the horizon and drops off the ends of the earth, where pandemics will come and go, but the earth will keep turning for thousands, for millions of years, where risk assessments and seeding plans will crumble into dust, as one day will this chapel, when our far-off descendants will tell themselves stories of this time. Imagine what it was like, as I imagine my grandmother stepping off the jetty at Kirkwall into a new life. As she was emboldened by poverty, the pandemic has made many of us bold enough to shrug off the old and seek the new. But the thing that will make us thrive, as we find ourselves in new worlds 1,000 kilometers from the familiar sea, is that sense of the unchanging, that some things remain true, whether the waves we see are over Scapa Flow or the cornfields of North Dakota. The same wind blows, the same creator is in the making, hovering over the face of the waters, in the beginning and at our end. Gerard Manley Hopkins perhaps said it best in his poem, Pied Beauty. Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies of couple color as a brinded cow, for rose moles all in stipple upon trout that swim, fresh fire-coal chestnut falls, finches' wings, landscape plotted and pieced, fold, fallow, and plow. And all trades, their gear and tackle and trim. All things counter, original, spare, strange. Whatever is fickle, freckled, who knows how? With swift, slow, sweet, sour, a dazzle dim. He fathers forth whose beauty is past change. Praise him.